Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Well, good evening. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from cool but wonderful Southern California tonight, and we are going to be talking about current state of affairs with the presidential campaign, the federal government's ability to handle natural disasters, the year that is most in everybody's mind right now, which is 2012, and a whole bunch of variety of stuff. I mean, this is just going to be a fantastic show, and we're going to put all of this together in metaphysical terms and in law of attraction terms. It's going to be fun. So stay tuned, because our guest tonight is going to be Jacqueline Lloyd, a metaphysical teacher, author, and political junkie, and she's going to give us her wonderful perspective about everything. It's going to be a great show. Now, you might not agree with everything, but it will definitely make you think, and so that's what we're going to do tonight, is just make you think. So let's hear from our wonderful sponsor tonight, the Science of Getting Rich program.
Would you like to seize the wealth manifesting power of the Law of Attraction right now? You can, with the exciting new course now being taught by teachers featured in the best-selling hit movie, The Secret, including Bob Proctor and Jack Canfield, creator of the phenomenal Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Go to financialrealities.net now to receive 7 lessons absolutely free. That's financialrealities.net. Make 2008 the year you turn your financial fantasies into a rich reality.
Great, we are back. Let me just run through some really, really fast announcements. Next week, we have David Wilcox, a.k.a. Edgar Casey Incarnate, will be with us again. We're going to be taking calls, so if you want to ask David a non-personal question, then call in. He only really wants to answer questions that deal with his research or with global happenings or anything around it, but he's absolutely one of the most brilliant men I have ever talked to in my entire life. So just call in and ask a question. I think you're going to be real thrilled about it. We might even go for 90 minutes next week, just to fit all your calls in. Also, last April, I had a show that featured 7-time best-selling author G.W. Hardin, who told us about this spectacular gathering in Yellowstone, Montana, called the Gathering of One. It's going to be held on June 17th through the June 21st, in which 444 people or more will come together standing in sacred geometry designs to usher in the Golden Age of Peace. Ooh, that just gives me goosebumps when I think about it. This gathering is also called the Global Eden Event and is being directed by angels, in which to raise the vibration of the planet to allow peace to reign. I was just in contact with GW, and he states that there are 33 more spots left to fill. So if you are at all interested in being part of this huge peace energy, in which you will carry the knowledge back to your corner of the world, then please sign up and go and experience the event of a lifetime. This is going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, for those of you who are unable to travel to Montana, you can still participate by creating your own sacred geometry design, which is on their website. And you only need as little as 8 people, or you could have 100 people, to join in the sacred geometry group in your area or state. They have a list on their site that has, it's almost in every country. There are unbelievable places all over the United States that you can go, Canada, Australia, everywhere. So you can actually find a group that's already putting together the Sacred Geometry Circle and go and participate, and you will get a lot of the vibrations, although that will only be one day, and going to Montana is a four-day event because you have to build up your energy level to accept it on the 21st. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. If you want more information on this, you can go to www.thegatheringofone.com. Now, I've just decided that I am going to Montana. I'm going to be participating, and I'm going to be recording the event to air on the show and report some mind-blowing experiences. Having said that, I know that there are 33 people, special people out there listening right now, who know that they are being called to be with us in Montana. So let me know if you're going. Send me an email so we can meet there. If someone needs to share accommodations or rides or whatever, contact me by email, julie@lawofattractiontools.com. You know, I am so excited about this. I'm just jumping up and down. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I have never been so excited about anything in my life. So this is going to be great. So let's get on with tonight's show. Let me introduce Jacqueline Lloyd. She has devoted over two decades to studying metaphysical philosophy and the concept of convergence. Her message today is simple, and I love this. We must pay attention to what is happening around us and take back our power to change it. That's exactly what we have been saying almost every single show. It's wonderful. She is the author of The Thief of Sacred, which is a brilliant novel about the first woman president. Even though she wrote the book prior to 9/11, it's amazing the similarity of the events. I love this book. It was such an easy read and absolutely fascinating. Jacqueline's concept of the political process is just like really right on target here. She's also considered to be an expert on federal government and natural disasters, the year 2012, as well as indigo children. So, Jackie, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you, Julie. It's wonderful to be here. This is great. I'm looking forward to this hour because I think we can all learn from each other. It's just exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let me tell you, I was so impressed by your book. You know, I'm a bit of a political junkie myself, so why don't we just jump right in, and I want to ask you, what made you decide to write a book about a woman president?
You know, that's a good question, and I've often asked myself that, too, because I started the book back in 1990, and at the time, it just seemed like the right thing to do. I don't know. My characters talk to me. It's you know, when people say, how do you do your characters? They're so real. Well, they're actually, to me, they're real. You know, they tell me what they want to say, the dialogue. I just hear it, so I just write it in. And apparently that was part of the book, and she just needed to be there. So I really love her. She's a wonderful character, and she's very strong but also very vulnerable at the same time. And as a woman, that's a hard balance to strike in my personal life, too. So she's kind of a role model for me.
Wow, yeah. She's really, really tremendous there. So what do you think about the fact that we have the first woman president candidate? I mean, are you surprised by the way Hillary is being treated by the media or anything? I mean, what do you think about this whole thing?
Well, I think, I was looking back at when Geraldine Ferraro ran as a vice presidential candidate, and the difference between the way she had her experience and the way Senator Clinton is having her experience are really different. And so I don't know whether it's just a sign of the times that people are more cynical and more, you know, emotionally invested in this presidential race. And it seems to be that a lot of people feel it's a do-or-die situation, so to speak, one way or the other, either, you know, on the Republican side or the Democrat side. I have a different perspective on it, and Julie, you and I spoke about this when we did our little chat beforehand, and I really have the strong feeling that it essentially does not matter who wins the presidency. Now, that might sound very strange, and when I first thought about this, it sounded strange to me, and I thought, no, I mean, how can it not matter? But I think about 6 months ago, 2 years ago, we passed the point of no return. And what that means to each of us is that it's time for us to do our part and step up, and whatever our experiences are will affect the whole, I think, a lot more than whoever's sitting in the White House. So it's really an age now, a part of this age of transition that we're in leading up to 2012, where people are being required to shift. As you look at the animals in the plant kingdom, they are adapting or they're perishing. It's a change or die sort of a situation, and when the Earth is approaching this the end of the galactic year, we're all being required to change, and it's not very comfortable a lot of times, but we have the opportunity to make huge, huge growths and emotional leaps in consciousness, and it's exciting.
Yeah, it is the most exciting time to be alive. So you know, you said something that people are feeling, and they're personalizing this campaign. And I believe that to be true. I mean, I can actually see where I'm personalizing it too. It's a life changing campaign. No matter, like you said, who won. I mean, I am seeing Hillary going down in history as being a person who brought our awareness as to what is really going on. I think she's a real hero, whether she wins the presidency or not. I think she's done a tremendously wonderful job by just running, and I'm real proud of her. And if Obama wins or whatever, like you said, I don't think it has to do. It has to do with each one of us. If we need to depend on ourselves on bringing peace to the world, or I just saw a remark. I'm sorry, I saw that remark in the chat room. you know, a lot of people just do not like Hillary. That's okay, I guess. You know, I choose to like both of them, and that's okay. But I still think that it's up to us and how we react to each candidate and respect them both for being up there and even respect the Republican. I think this is very important because this is our learning process that we can come together and make the peace. We can't depend on Hillary or Obama or McCain or Ron Paul or anybody who's elected to bring peace to the world. It's not going to happen without us. We all know that we carry the energy, and it has to start with us. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely, and you say that so well. Yeah, there's no question about it. And also, I wanted to thank President Bush, too, because
absolutely
bringing us into this war and in unfolding events as he did, he really galvanized people. And again, it doesn't matter whether they're going to the left or to the right. What matters is that they're getting involved and they're feeling the passion again. And I think it's exciting. I mean, I'm just so glad that people are, you know, diving in and taking responsibility and talking about politics on the streetcar again. It's just great, and it's really due to President Bush. And so, you know, as a soul, he really did us a huge favor.
He really did.
Yeah.
He really did. And you know what? We've got to thank him. And that's hard for people to swallow too. But you know, we've got to. If we, you know, as far as your book, you look at your book, and there was one point in there that Sella, who is the woman president, she was forced or being forced to get into a new war, but she flat out refused. But I could see in the White House any president would be, I mean, it's such a huge decision. And she had this gut reaction just saying, no, I'm not going to. I don't care what anybody says. And they were throwing everything at the world at her. And I can't help but think that this is exactly what happened with every president that's been in there when we had to go to war. You know, there's certain factions who are just going to pressure you into it. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And the part in the book where she receives doctored intelligence reports, that's actually, that happened, you know, with this Gulf War. The intelligence reports that said there were weapons of mass destruction. I mean, it was there in black and white. And, you know, President Bush, of course, chose to believe that, where in my book I have her not believing it. But regardless, there are definitely energies and individuals working an agenda that might not have the American people's best interest at heart. And I discovered this in tons of research and interviews with people and lots of reading declassified documents and, you know, getting hold of people who at first were reluctant to tell their story, but then, you know, started to warm up and told me things that were really quite amazing. And I did put it all in the book there, too. So it's not like I just made it up either, you know.
Yeah. It's amazing that you wrote that in, what did you say, in the 90s?
Yeah, I started it in 1990.
And it's like you did it just a few years ago. It's really amazing. It's like, it's just coming, it's just so real.
Yeah,
I don't know if you did it by psychicness or what, or for, you know, reading the future in, but I was amazed. I just sat there, and it was really one of the best books I have read in a long time. So I urge everybody to read it. It's a fun, good book, and it really brings your perspective together. Let's talk about the natural disasters and the federal government. I think this is really important. What made you start researching it out?
Well, again, it sort of unfolded in the same way that my first book did. Watching the Gulf War in 1990, I had the feeling that there was a lot more going on than met the eye, so to speak, and that there was a manipulation going on behind the scenes. It's just a gut feeling that I had, and that's what I started researching. And so with the natural disasters, it started with me 4 years ago. We had a huge fire. I live in Southern California, too, and we had a huge fire called the Cedar Fire, and it was unbelievable. It changed my life in so many ways because the fire itself was traveling at 60 miles an hour, and there was no way for anybody to know where it was going and, you know, which direction it was moving. And, I mean, basically it was just a mess, and we evacuated our home. And we drove down to another house where other people were gathering. And I went outside, and I just sat there. I thought we'd lost everything at that point. And I just sat there in the state of shock. And all of a sudden, I just knew we had to get out of there. I just knew it. And so I went back inside, and I said, you guys, we have to go. You know, we have to go. I can feel it. I know it. We have to go. And everybody said, no, we're fine. And the person that owned the house called 911, and 911 said, no, you're fine. You guys just stay there. You're fine. And I just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it, and I finally got everybody out of there, and about an hour later that house was completely destroyed, and it's in the bottom of a canyon, so we would have all died because it was moving so fast in the bottom of a canyon. And I had a two-year-old, and my daughter was two at the time, and driving through flames with your kid in your car is really a life-altering experience. And I realized truly the extent that we are on our own, natural disasters, whatever, it's your neighbors that count, it's your friends that count, and the government's not going to save us. And then FEMA comes in later, and then they have some arbitrary way of allocating who gets the funds and who gets money, and, you know, they turn down people that were American citizens, they had no insurance, they qualified in every way, shape, or form, and FEMA still denied them. So I think that for me was a turning point, saying this is not okay. This is not all right. This is, my tax dollars are going to some other things that I don't probably even know about. The black budget, quote unquote, the top secret budget, is huge. Billions of dollars go into these programs that we certainly have no idea what they're doing with it. And we're dying in our homes in natural disasters, and it's just not right. So that's when I started talking to people and doing what I'm doing right now.
Wow. Wow. So what if we have a natural disaster that's going to pop up? And we're having them right now with tornadoes and everything else. But what if we have a massive earthquake? Is the government, I mean, should we be depending on them at all? What should we be doing?
Well, I think really the message that I want to get out to people is that don't wait for the natural disaster to strike. You know what happens in your area, although that is changing with the climate changes. We're seeing things that we never saw before. And really it's just for everybody to be very clear about where their priorities are. Are your priorities, do you have children? Do you want them to have a good education? Are you concerned about natural disasters and, you know, helping people recover from them? I mean, where is your passion? And your tax dollars ought to follow that passion, and they ought to go where you want them to go. And people sort of just go, well, you know, I write the checks, or, you know, they take this chunk of change out of my paycheck every 2 weeks, and, you know, they do with it whatever they want. And that's what I'm trying to change here, because it's our country. It's our money and it's our country. And the more people who speak up, the better.
Absolutely. So with the law of attraction, if we focus on, see, this is the thing politically that I would love to get clear into everybody's heads. It's okay to be politically active and still be with the law of attraction. Because what we're doing is seeing a problem and then wanting to create another solution to it, right?
Absolutely.
So we can do this by action and by sending the right vibes, sending the right intentions out also. I mean, we can do it through meditation as well as taking proper action by writing the people that need to be told. And so my question is, do we start at a local level? Do we start at the federal level? Where do we start?
That's a really good question, Julie. Of course, everybody's going to have a different urge, you know, a different way that they feel that they can make a difference. And this is another thing that I've learned, you know, again and again and again, and it just keeps coming up to me. Everybody who's here on the planet right now has a key to this puzzle. Everybody has something to contribute, and it can be, you know, anything, absolutely anything. Dog grooming, for example. I mean, maybe somebody is a lawyer and they really want to groom dogs, and they want to, you know, connect with the owners and the dogs. And if they give up their career, you know, people are going to say, why did you give up? You were a successful lawyer. Why did you take up dog grooming? Well, if it's in your heart, then it's critical for everybody. It's not just your life, because we're all part of a whole. And so the more people who follow their heart and who, you know, get into whatever their passion is, I think the better chances we have of thriving as a people in this time of transition, because the uncomfortable part and the painful part happens when people do not follow their heart and they do not dismantle the old belief systems that we're being required to dismantle right now in the shifting of the age. And if what I'm saying about a shifting of an age doesn't work for you, that's fine. You know, it's not about that. It's about what works for you personally. What makes sense to you, and what gives you the passion and the reason to get up in the morning? That's really the key.
Exactly right. So let's talk about 2012. What do you think is going to happen in the 12th month of 2012?
That's a good question. People ask me that all the time, and really, I don't feel that it's a deadline, so to speak. I feel sort of a loose marker, and we're already in the age of transition, and we're already ramping up. I don't know if you've noticed the time is speeding up. Have you noticed that, Julie?
Absolutely.
And the time that it takes to create something, the time that it takes to go from thought to manifestation, seems to be getting shorter and shorter too.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And it's really amazing, but that's exactly right. And I have had many people tell me that. It's faster. You can manifest almost immediately.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Like I said, the last 6 months, things have really kicked up in a notch or two. And I think we'll continue to see that. And so the point of this, I think, really, as far as an evolutionary tool, you know, whether you believe in God or creative design or intelligent design or any of that, I think what it's teaching us, this age and the way the wattage is being turned up in the creation, you really see what your thoughts are creating. There's no mystery anymore. It's so quick that it's so obvious, and it's giving us the opportunity to heal whatever is not in alignment with joy. And the more obvious it gets, the easier it is. I mean, it's certainly more painful, but it's obvious, and so then it's easy to take the appropriate steps if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have noticed that. And you're right, I've noticed that a lot of people, a lot of clients come in, and it has manifested, their thoughts have manifested extreme pain for them because they don't have any idea that they can actually change their thoughts. They just are reacting to life. So it's really, I'm not sure everybody gets it, but I try to point out, hey, pay attention here. You need to start creating in a good space, not a bad space.
Right. Well, I think personally, where I run into trouble is when my mind has these little sub conversations that I'm not totally consciously aware of, and they can be very, very negative, and play on self doubt and play on negativity and limitations, or oh, that's never going to work anyway, so why even try? And it goes on at a level below conscious thought, so you have to really pay attention. Normally, how I can tell that it's happening is that I can feel it. I'll start to feel depressed, or I'll start to feel heavy, or my normal enthusiasm is just kind of And so then I can take a look and see what triggered me. For example, I talk about children and the remarkable children that are here right now to help us in this age of transition. Some people call them indigos. Some people call them star children, whatever you want to call them, the remarkable children. So I sent out a bunch of, pitches to different radio hosts so I could talk about this and see if we can adjust our perception of ADHD and really sort of support the kids instead of trying to fit them into an old belief system. And one of the hosts emailed my PR company and said, not only do I find her statements to be inappropriate for my show, I would discourage her from being on any show, and she just, she just had a reaction, a huge one. So they sent it to me, and they said, what do you want to do? And, of course, then I had a reaction, and I was like, well, maybe she just had a bad day, or, boy, maybe she's an advocate for drugging children because, hey, I'm an advocate, she's an advocate, what's the problem? We should be allies, right? And then I thought, you know what? Okay, so she's triggering my need to be right. She's triggering this unconscious feeling that I have that if I'm not right, or that if I adjust my perception, if I change the way I look at something because of new information, that I'm somehow failing or I'm somehow not perfect, or, there's this whole perfectionism thing wrapped up. And I think a lot of women feel this way in particular, too, because there's a lot of pressure on women to live up to the certain standard, and it's a totally unrealistic standard. So once I realized that, and I realized that she was triggering my own self-doubt and my own fear of not being enough, I thought, well, how can I shift the energy on this? So what I did was I wrote her an email, and I gave her my email, and I said, I would really love to talk to you privately about this. I would love to hear your point of view. I don't have all the answers, but if we work together, we can maybe come up with something, And she never wrote me back, so that was fine. It was for me to realize why I was reacting and for me to shift that perception. So now I don't care if I'm wrong. If people say, hey, no, that's not right, this is how it is, I'll listen, and I won't feel defensive, and I'll be able to say, well, yeah, or, well, no, that doesn't work for me. Either way, I just have a whole different energy on it, and it goes back to that subtle conversation that goes on, you're no good, you're not enough, you're this, you're that. And that's really where people need to do the healing.
Absolutely. Self-esteem, number one issue. But that's true. Right now, the intensity of emotions are coming out, as well as instant or faster manifestations. I've noticed intensities are high. I mean, just like the political campaign, just like you said, there's a real, if it doesn't go this way, it's like it's all doom and gloom, you know. It's not, there's not a positive to anything. I mean, there is. But that's why the intentions are going. And intentions and the motions that have to do with the way the government's run, the way the schools are run, everybody. I mean, there's just incredible amount of tension. So it's like it's more imperative that the people who are into metaphysics, the people who are into the law of attraction, absolutely realize that we are the ones who are going to have to bring a little bit of peace through us, that we can have our vibration go out to the rest of the one. We need, it's up to us to calm everybody down and to help them.
And it's often it can just be standing in line at a Target, for example, where if you're in that peaceful, connected mode, it does catch on to other people. People, you'll notice they just kind of relax around you because they're picking up on it, and it's a soothing energy. And right now, the fear is being turned up, on high. And I think that, of course, I think that's intentional. I think people are, distracted by certain things from the truth of what's really going on, and I think that's intentional. Like the global warming, for example, there's a lot of passion about global warming right now, and people doing their part and people not doing their part, and what's right and what's wrong, and you drive an SUV, well, you're screwing the planet. And I would look at it this way, and I do look at it this way. Yes, absolutely, humans have accelerated global warming. We have contributed to this issue. But if you look at the history of our planet, this has happened before. Global warming has happened before. Ice ages, they've happened before. Polar flips, it's all scientifically documented. Polar flips, polar reversals, whatever you want to call them, wandering poles, all this has happened in the past. And so I think in focusing on only focusing on what humans have done to the environment, and we're missing the bigger picture of this transition that we're going through. And I really like people to step back and look at it. And again, if it doesn't work for you, the age of transition, that's fine. But whatever works for you, just to get a bigger picture, because if we get caught in the shame and blame syndrome, we're not going to get anywhere.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. So what do you think? I mean, I personally don't think 2012 is going to be all doom and gloom, but there are people who are saying, oh, a polar shift and all that. I still believe, just like our human emotions create earthquakes and it's releasing that conflict that's going on, I think that we can turn around and heal the planet, right? Or
absolutely.
Can we not? I mean,
no.
Are we just going in one direction that we can't stop it?
Well, it depends on your definition of stopping and of healing. I mean, the way I connect with the earth and my understanding of it, of course, might be different from somebody else, but I'm seeing it as I'm having a natural process in this age of transition. All my stuff is coming up really big. All my emotions are coming up really big for me to heal. And I think the earth is going through a very similar process, too. So I think developing a respect for the environment and a respect for each other is a critical part of this shift as well, because when we come through on the other side of this age of transition, that's going to be the basis for society. We're going to be completely connected to the fact that we're all part of one, life force and life energy. And so everything is going to be based on the recognition of that fact. So, yes, it's important to figure out how to reduce the carbon footprint, however you want to do it in your life, but also to honor the earth for her own process and recognize that she's shifting as we are shifting, too.
Mm-hmm. Is our DNA changing?
Yes. Yeah. What do you know about that? It's interesting, isn't it?
Just from what I'm reading, it's we're in the and David Wilcock also says it, that our DNA is changing, and that we're becoming more naturally intuitive. We're going to be doing. I mean, I'm hearing reports right now. Even I don't know if you know Jo Dunning, but in a lot of her seminars, people are starting to levitate. I mean, I think that's pretty phenomenal. But, you know, some things, you know, that we have always taken for granted that we have actually learned about in metaphysics hundreds of years ago are now being proven by science, too. So it's really amazing. But you tell me what you think about the DNA.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think we are shifting, and part of becoming more sensitive is what I call it, because it's psychic makes it seem like a separate thing. It's just an increased sensitivity. Like the children who are coming in right now are extremely sensitive, and people say, well, they're really psychic, and it's true, they are. But it's more than just that. Again, it's looking at the bigger picture. They're extremely sensitive to environment. They're extremely sensitive to other people's emotions. The chemicals and the preservatives that are in convenience foods are a big factor in these kids, and they will aggravate. The chemicals do aggravate behavioral issues and other things like that. So it's looking at the big picture and doing whatever works for you to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Yes. Yeah, we're in agreement.
Wow,
this
I haven't levitated yet either, so maybe I had to go to one of those seminars.
I know, and I wanted to. I'm going, okay, what would it feel like to float? How cool is that? But, you know, there's been, I've actually talked about three people who have actually done that. It's like, oh, okay, we're definitely in this age here. I just love it. I love it. Listen, we've got a caller on the line, Nara, and I kind of like to ask her, would you mind if we see what she has to say?
No, I'd love it.
Okay, hold on here. Nara, are you there?
Yes, and actually it's a he.
Oh, hi, how are you?
I'm excellent, and how are you guys?
Fine.
Oh,
did you have a question?
Great.
Or a comment?
Well, actually, yeah, I just actually had more of a comment, a question.
Sure.
You were talking about the, what's coming in 2012.
Uh-huh.
From what I'm feeling from the Earth, it's like you guys were talking about, mankind is evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you could see, other species that when they can't evolve with the change that the Earth is, you know, giving them a choice to evolve to, then the species kind of minimizes and, you know, evolves into the new form, if you will. And so that's where you guys were talking about the sensitivity of, you know, mankind and how intuitive we're becoming naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of feel like, I don't know if 2012 is like the day that like something's happened to reduce the species, but I think it's more of just those who really aren't awake yet are going to see it at that moment. And so I don't think it's going to be a big cutback on the species as much as just going to be an awakening to where everybody's going to see they need to do something about changing their behaviors and, taking their own power.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, you are certainly tapped into what's going on. That's fantastic. That's very cool.
Yes, and thank you.
Oh, sure. And also, I've been told this too by one of my teachers that the electromagnetic spectrum is actually widening right now too. So, around 2012, we will be able to see things in which we consider non-physical, simply because the frequency of everything, including us, is changing. So, does that fit in with what you're talking about?
Yes, it does. That's exactly basically what I'm talking about. I don't know. I'm getting new in the scientific background of all this. This is just stuff I'm feeling intuitively.
Oh, that's great.
But I have read a book by the author Barbara Han Kao, and she talks about the Mayan code.
Yeah.
And then I have that talks about what you're talking about seeing the other beings that we're not being able to see now.
Well, are you talking about seeing through the veil to the other parallel levels, or seeing people who have died, or we're seeing possibly people from other planets, or what?
Yeah, I think so. I think all of the above, and I think it's going to be really neat. Like, whoa, where did that planet come from? You know, that sort of a thing.
Exactly.
I think our entire worldview is going to shift dramatically. We're not going to feel nearly as isolated and separated, and that, of course, will support this whole new way of being, where we're recognizing that we're all connected and we're all interdependent on each other and the earth and everything else. So,
wow.
You said it right there. It's what we're being, not what we're doing.
Right.
Like you talked about earlier in the show, you were talking about just standing in line and just, you know, being yourself and being, you know, having a smile on your face just changes the whole emotions of all those around you.
It's true. It's a huge responsibility, you know. I mean, it really is. And some days, of course, we're better at it than other days, right? And some days we're just
of course
more
we're only human.
Sorry.
I said, of course, we're only human.
Right. Exactly. I have to remind myself of that too. But yeah, it is very exciting. So hopefully you're doing something with this understanding that you have, and hopefully you're sharing it with people.
Oh, of course. Actually, I just started my own blog talk show just yesterday.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, okay. Great.
Fantastic. There you go.
What's the name of
it? Creative Reality.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, thank you so much for calling. That was really terrific.
Yeah,
and we'll be
sure
to tune in on that. You know, what I think is that we are going to be becoming more aware of our vibrations. We're not just going to be seeing our third dimensional reality right now, but we're also going to be able to raise our vibration up so that when we are standing in that line, we'll be able to raise everybody else's vibrations up. I think that we're coming to the point where once you start raising that vibration, you're not going to have to live with all that pain. I felt to myself, you know, I was doing this little experiment with this workshop I was doing last weekend, and I have these divining rods, you know, made out of coat hangers and straws and everything. They're really kind of cool. And you put them out there, and you can, by thinking something really wonderful and lovely and just pure love, those sticks will move in together. And if you think of something that you absolutely despise, they'll shift outward.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it's such a good demonstration of how our thoughts and our vibrations absolutely create what's going on. And I think that's what we're also starting to learn, is our vibrational field and how we can. I think this is what one of our jobs is, to show people that you can live life in joy. You don't have to learn by pain. You can learn by joy. And I think that's one of the things that we need to get across. There doesn't have to be wars. We can learn through joy. We can create this Eden on Earth right now. And that's what I'm so excited about, this event, you know, the ushering in of the Golden Age. Is that not perfect? I mean, isn't that where we all want to be?
Yeah, it's so exciting. It is really, it's just a great time, and that's why I want to encourage everybody to feel passionate about something. It doesn't matter what it is. My teacher says, don't be lukewarm, be hot or be cold, and he's right. This is a time where we connect with our hearts, where if we're passionate about something, that just helps everything else shift too. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's scrapbooking or knitting or running or, you know, yoga or anything. As long as it connects you with your heart and you have a sense of passion and a sense of being part of something bigger than, you know, just the daily routine, that is the key. And as the viruses start emerging, which I think we're going to start seeing here very soon, both man-made and just sort of natural viruses, the immune system is going to be a huge, huge key here to maintaining health and, of course, you know, life in the physical. So the immune system, it is not only a physical immune system, but it's mental and emotional as well. And you'll notice if there are eight people in a room and you walk in and you're feeling pretty good and you walk in and everyone's talking about how horrible life is, how does that affect you? Do you feel yourself crash in energy? Do you feel yourself lowering down to their vibration? Or can you maintain your own sense of connectedness and peace in the face of all that negativity? That's a really good indication of where your mental and emotional immune systems are. And, again, I cannot encourage people strongly enough that this is the time now to really start looking at immune systems before the viruses are out here in force.
Mm. You know, that is really my weak point is I can go along, and I'm normally a very, very happy and positive person because I'm a living law of attraction 24/7, you know, which thank God. But if I went into a room with people who are just complaining and just really in pain with life, I have to turn around and absolutely leave because I will get caught up in it. I will switch just like that. It's amazing. And boy, does that tell me I still have a lot of work to do because I guess I'm just not grounded. I'm grounded when I'm with positive people, but when I get around negative people, I just merge with them.
It's really hard, and I have a hard time with it too, and I can't help but think that there's some way in which I'm sabotaging my own growth and my own process by allowing that to happen. Again, I think it goes back to the little voices. You know, what is in me that? And good for you for turning around. I don't even think I often turn around. So I'll just let myself crash. So you know, you're aware of it, and the turning around is really, you know, if you can't do anything else, then that's a great thing to do. But I often, you know, find myself where I'm trying to assist people in healing or supporting them in their process, and it's very difficult to maintain that positive, you know, happy feeling at that time. And again, it, for me, it goes back to self sabotage. I'm scared about what I'm doing, and so I'm kind of just looking for a reason not to do it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. But I'm assuming then that we've got to devise or we've got to come up with strategies. And maybe that's a new book for you, that how do we counteract that? What do we do? How do we look in immediately and change that? How do we not get caught up in that? You know, that could be a very, very important subject.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I'll put that on my website if I can find out some information. I mean, I'm always learning. Every day I'm learning from people and, you know, from children especially. The children right now are just incredible teachers, and mm-hmm. So I'm learning. And so when I find out something, I'll be sure to share it because, again, it's so important to get in tune with what's really going on. And I think if we're really connected in our hearts and there's no old way or old belief system blocking, then we can walk into a room like that and just shine the light that we need to shine, and there won't be an issue with it.
Oh, yeah. That would be a wonderful goal. I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not either.
but listen, you were talking before about the transformational thing. Maybe now would be a good time to bring that up, that organization.
Yeah, this is just an exciting thing that just happened about a month ago. I joined forces with a woman named Andrea McDonald, who owns McDonald Media in New York. And I started telling her a little bit about what I was doing, and she said, I want to work with you. This is amazing. I had no idea this was going on. I consider myself, you know, fairly in tune and fairly enlightened, and I had no idea about the age of transition, about 2012, and it really resonated with her. So she and I have gotten together, and we're in the process of designing a website called The Great Transformation, A Return to the Heart. And what it is a forum and a place for people who are on this path to go and share their information and share their support with other people. And again, since we create our own reality, we're going to be creating a group reality, a group consciousness, starting in cyberspace and then eventually, you know, building and growing into the physical as well. And it's just exciting, the amount of people that want to be a part of it and want to sign up and want to share their thoughts about how to make our new world, you know, so that it supports all of us. And it's just, it's amazing how fast it's taking off. And, you know, Andrea and I are just, we're just sort of playing catch up with everybody else at this point because everybody seems to have been ready for this neat way. And so we're just scrambling, and somebody offered to do the technical part of it. Someone's going to host the website. Somebody wants to be the site librarian, so to speak, where she sets up the, you know, the libraries with the searchable keywords and all this stuff. And it's just awesome. And it's going to be huge. And it's going to be a way for people who are on this path consciously to connect with other people and share their passion and share their information.
Wow, how wonderful. So it's not up yet?
No, it's not up yet. I would say another week or so. We just finished the mission statement. And again, it has to do with assisting without directing and supporting without judgment. And if anybody who's working from the heart and in respect for self and for others can put their information up, that's the only criteria we have, is that it has to be clean, it has to be from the heart, and it has to respect other people and be non-judgmental, because the energy just stops right there.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's right, somebody's wrong, that's it. The whole thing falls apart.
Exactly.
So we're very clear, you know, that we're not here to tell people what to do. We're just offering a support network for people to plug into who want to share this exciting new world with us.
Wow. Well, give us the web address. Can you?
Yeah, the web address is thegreattransition.com.
Thegreattransition.com.
Right, and then we also bought Galactic Year, which will shoot you over to that one. We got areweready.com. We tried to get things that, you know, ways to hook into that whole notion of shifting and the whole notion that things are changing, and now is a really wonderful time for us to, all of us, to step up and get to the table, so to speak, and hash out what would be the best for everybody and what would work for the planet and what wouldn't work. And, you know, people have different areas of expertise and different passions. Like, you would be great, Julie. You would be great for the point that we call the portal, which is a place where people can come and get tools and information and contacts to help them move through the old belief systems and into this new new way of being. And it sounds like you already have that all figured out.
I'm trying, but oh yeah, I'd love to. I absolutely would love to. I'd love to be a part of that. Absolutely.
Excellent. Oh, it's just so exciting, and of course it's free. You know, we're not charging people for this information. We'll probably eventually have some way for donations if people want to support, people who run the technical and of course the website and all that stuff too. But that's all down the road. I mean, originally just the idea is the forum and a place where people can go to feel supported.
Mhm. Oh wow. Terrific. So it should be up at least in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Oh, fabulous.
Right. And then there's also a bios page where people can become a part of it and put their bios up there and their picture and whatever their passion is and why they want to be a part of it. And, you know, of course, if people want email, you know, if they want to give people their email so they can contact them, that's all part of it too.
Hmm. So let's talk about how we are to act with the earthquake and the tsunami that just happened over in China, and Manarpan, I don't know how to say that, but in Taiwan, I think it is, the cyclone. What can we do, and what do you think charged that? Do you think it was the energy of the people, or what do you think? Or was the earth just releasing all of this energy? What do you think?
Well, I think that's a really good question. Since I believe that everything is connected, I have to believe then that people do have an impact on the earth. I don't see how they can't, emotions and all that. What is important to remember, too, is that after something like that happens, a lot of the people who transition from the physical, a lot of the people who die are still wandering around, wondering what happened and wondering, you know, why people can't hear them. And it's from a broader perspective, the impact of that energy is something that we can do something about, because if we can send our intent and our love and our assistance to that area, specifically trying to reach those souls that have died, and it's actually really easy to help people move on. It just takes intent and love and just a simple connection to the power of all that is, and that's all they need to realize that they've died. And that is a huge, huge part of it, because the Earth is recovering, obviously. I mean, it didn't even, it's just all part of, you know, earthquakes are part of it. But the people who are, both the people who are survivors and the people who have died are the ones that really need our support. And a lot of times, of course, people don't think about the people who died needing support because, well, they're dead, right?
Right.
Well, unless they had a belief system that they implemented at the time of death, they wander, or the Buddhists call it the bardo. There's different ways to look at it, but basically they don't understand what happened, and they're just sort of lost. And so it's a beautiful thing to be able to do for people.
So if we send our love and peace to that area, either through meditation or prayer or whatever, it's going to help the physical and the non-physical.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's, you know, of course, you know, financial donations, I don't know how China's handling it or whether they're even accepting it or whether people even really feel like it, but more than financial donations, the intent and the awareness and the compassion makes a huge difference, huge difference.
Absolutely. I think that's extremely important. I kind of like to figure out what could have caused that massive explosion. Is there another way that we could have released, or they could have released that energy that maybe wouldn't have been an earthquake? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying. And again, I don't know whether this is true or not, but it's I've been told by people that there are weapons and other ways to trigger earthquakes. Now, I don't know that this was implemented at that site or whether that was a factor in it. I just don't know. But I have heard that from different sources. A lot of them are very credible, so I would be inclined to believe it, but I've never actually seen any documentation. I think it's a Tesla technology that they've been using, but so for whatever that's worth, you know, I don't know if it was deliberate. I don't know.
Oh, so it could have been deliberate, but I'm thinking, what if the emotions of the people who were living there, could they have had such tremendous emotion that it would, you know, I mean, China's not known for being human rights, you know, and that
right.
thing that was going on in Tibet and everything. Is there a way that they could have done that by their own emotions and made it so severe? Is there another way that they could have been, I mean, is it true that they could have started that whole thing themselves?
That I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think the vibrational energy has to be something. I mean, when you get emotionally angry, when you get frustrated, I mean, that emotion's got to go. And people actually will tend to put it in on their bodies and get ill. But if there's hundreds of thousands of millions of people who are feeling that same emotional distress, it's got to go down into the earth.
I see what you're saying. Right. That makes sense.
It's and somehow it's got to be released. So there's got to be, I mean, I would love to see another way that people can release that. And, you know, here in California, we're prone to earthquakes too. And we haven't really had a major one for a while. Well, that's not true. We've had a few small ones. But truly, I think it's our emotional outlook that creates it. Every time we get hot and bothered about something, we start feeling it. And I think it's also in direct correlation to the economy. When we start feeling fearful, you know, it just starts doing a chain reaction here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's certainly another reason to get it together, isn't it? I mean, I would hate to think that my anger issues are creating earthquakes, but I mean, I what you're saying makes perfect sense. I just never thought of it before.
Yeah, it's got to go somewhere. So
we need to
start cleansing ourselves and start understanding the power that we are. So anyway, we have got 32 seconds to go. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. This was so much fun. I appreciate you coming on, and I want you to come back on and tell us more. All right?
Thank you, Julie. This was wonderful, and thanks, everybody, for listening. This was great. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll be visiting on your site. So
oh,
we
awesome.
Will talk to everybody next week.
Great.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.